and welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very diabolical top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
We are doing our top five James Bond villain death traps.
And Steve, I did not know you were so evil.
Wes, I never want to cross you again because you are just so evil.
But guys, we got a lot of show to get to, so let's get to it.
So as Holly and I made a routine stop to the Target the other day.
Fantastic. What'd you do?
That was it, man. It was great.
That's great.
It was great.
That was five.
And we're out. Top five Target moments. So we're walking through to get something just the most boring. Whatever it could pop. Whatever the most boring thing is you can find, it's that.
Oh, a loaf of bread.
Yep.
Got it.
For you, it's a loaf of bread. For someone else, it may be vacuum cleaner filters.
Oh, that is exciting.
Woo! So as I'm following my wife to go to this land of boredom, wherever it is in Target, We start to walk by the toy aisle.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, put them brakes on, girl. We're going to take a detour. And oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. The toys right now are phenomenal.
Yeah? What?
We started in the Lego aisle.
Okay.
As all good toy runs should.
Sure.
Oh, my God. With all of the Star Wars stuff going on right now, amazing, awesome X-Wing. They have a full AT-AT walker, full Star Destroyer. They've got the little chicken walker, the AT-ST.
Okay.
Just awesome, awesome sets of the Star Wars stuff, which, I don't know. What was your kind of area in Legos when you were a kid? What did you like, the castle stuff?
Steve, we talked about this. I didn't play with Legos when I was a kid.
That's right. I permanently blocked that from my memory because it's so awful that you say that.
I had Kinex.
Oh!
I had the Erector set. And I had like the Mega Blocks, which is like the Legos for dummies. Like the Legos
for... God.
The Legos that parents give their children that they think are functionally handicapped that they might put in random orifices.
No, Wes. Oh, God, no.
Yep.
They
thought I couldn't put those Mega Blocks into orifices, and I proved them wrong.
Oh, Wes, you poor demented child. Oh, my God. No. Oh.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yep.
So anyway, let's go ahead and wipe that from the memory yet again. So, in my childhood, I wasn't a huge fan of like the Star Wars. That kind of, I liked the stuff that was more realistic in the construction, like the jets and like the space shuttle and fire stations and that kind of stuff. So I turn around in the aisle, and oh my God, it's awesome. All of that kind of stuff, just even better than it was back in the day, man. They're awesome. And super-duper expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you buy any?
Nope.
Would you buy any?
Yes.
What would you buy?
I asked Holly. What? Like,
Holly, please!
Holly, will you please buy me everything? She said no. So I pooped in my pants and cried. Yeah. Holly said she would take the AT-AT. And I think... At this current moment, I would take the AT-AT as well, just because walking that around my living room would be super cool.
Wait, is it a functional AT-AT?
It's not mechanical, but the legs move.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we turned around the corner, and Nerf aisle!
Yeah!
And they have, like, one of the new things, like the motifs or whatever they're doing. It's like a Borderlands-style gun collection kind of thing. This kind of, you know, like Wasteland, Mad Max kind of look thing. Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool.
Okay.
So, dude, they had a Nerf, like, Bowie knife.
Yeah?
It was awesome.
A Nerf Bowie knife.
Yeah.
Nerf David Bowie knife.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ziggy Stardust knife.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, so just, I looked at Holly, I was like, can we have a child, please? So we can buy some goddamn toys. Because these are awesome. They have drones there, Wes.
Wait, what?
They have drones.
What
remote
do you mean?
Control drone helicopter things with video cameras on them for like $200.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve, I think you should invest in one. You have a credit card?
I do.
Do it.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was five.
Just saying, man. Like, the toys are so cool. They're so cool.
What would you do with a remote-controlled drone helicopter?
Well, I mean, go on a titty exposition. Exposition?
Exposition?
Expedition.
No. Hey,
let me get some exposition before I go on this expedition for titties.
And then it'll lead to a titty climax.
Well, we'll see what kind of titties we come across.
All right, sounds fine.
I mean, I would just fly that baby around looking in people's windows, right? That's what you do.
I mean, what else can you do?
I mean, I don't, like, live in the wilderness where I can go hunt animals with it or anything. Because that would be a kick-ass drone.
I have to imagine it's not a silent drone. The animals could hear it coming.
Yeah, but I'll be so high up, and with such long-range weaponry, won't even see it coming.
Wow, you got plans, man.
I do.
Wow, I'm very excited for you.
I'm telling you, man, these toys are, they're awesome.
They're no joke.
Micro Machines are still around?
Yeah?
You didn't play with Micro Machines either, did you?
I had Micro Machines.
I don't believe you. Give me your top three toys you actually played with when you were a kid.
Okay.
Socks.
Dude, my first thought was a pair of socks.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, man.
I loved cheese wrappers.
I loved Transformers.
Okay.
I loved, like, the Hot Wheels and the Micro Machines, you ass. And it's like other action figures, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures.
All right.
And those foot-long G.I. That was an interesting hand motion.
Yeah, it sure was.
Those foot-long G.I. Joe action figures.
See, I didn't like the big ones.
You didn't? Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I
don't know what your wife's been telling you, but size does matter.
No, because I had so many of the small G.I. Joes that it felt...
I know, Steve. I know.
It's not how big your G.I. Joe is. It's how they fight crime and save the world.
On the ocean?
All over the place, man. All
right, fair enough.
Because I had so many regular-sized G.I. Joes that I felt like it was almost like some sort of sick freak G.I. Joe that was walking in.
It's like Mecha Joe.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing here, dude? We've been doing just fine without your genetically engineered, six-story-tall, genetic-enhanced soldier. Get out of here.
Oh, and dude, was there anything more fun than, like, plastic swords and axes to beat each other with?
Real swords and axes?
Oh, your mother let you play with them.
Yeah, she was hoping I'd kill myself long ago. Long, long ago.
Too bad. She didn't know that you just slaughter the neighborhood children.
I killed all the other kids.
Nice, man.
Yeah, thanks.
I remember, okay, this is just a random memory from my childhood. So my cousin Jesse and I, there at my grandma's house, we found a pair of boxing gloves. And he was left-handed, and I was right-handed. So we each put one on and just beat the shit out of each other. Him with the left hand, mine with the right. It was awesome.
Do you remember Sock'em Boppers?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots?
No, very different, sir.
Okay.
No robotics whatsoever.
Is it just, are these the huge inflatable, like, things you put on your hands?
Yeah, they're essentially big inflatable boxing gloves.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Sock'em Boppers! Sock'em Boppers! You can sock 'em once and bop 'em twice! Sock'em Boppers!
I think you're just making that up.
Nah, that's legit.
I don't
look
think
it,
so.
Look it up.
I will not.
Anyway, so my mom bought me two sets of Sock'em Boppers. So, obviously, my friends and I could beat the shit out of each other. But safely, right?
Yeah.
Until the point when my buddy punched me and the thing was slightly deflated and his wrist bone hit me right above the eye, like in the eyebrow area.
Oh, that explains it.
Instant huge welt above my eye.
Yeah.
And my instant response was to kick him straight in the face. And let me tell you where I did not have Sock'em Boppers. It was on my feet.
Did you ever have moon boots or moon shoes?
My friend had moon shoes.
Okay.
And I was so excited to play with moon shoes. Like, as a Nickelodeon kid growing up, I was like, oh my God, they have made the perfect toy. And then he put them on, and I was like, oh no. Oh no. You must be doing those wrong. Quick, give them to me. And I was like, these fucking suck. You have made the worst toy.
I never actually had them. Why were they so bad?
They were just, it was like a 3-inch plastic side with these really strong rubber bands in the middle mm-hmm. with a little foot plate. So you like, you just, if you jumped really high, your feet actually hit the ground because it's just those like 3 inches on the side.
Oh, ow.
Yeah, it sucked. And the bottoms were super slippery. So my buddy's driveway was an angled asphalt driveway. Mm-hmm. So he'd start bouncing and then like a baby deer learning to walk. Oh! Terrible. They sucked.
Speaking of Nickelodeon toys, I remember the first time my mom ever got me Gak.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Gak?
Of course I remember Gak.
I remember I threw it against the wall. There was like a grease Gak stain the rest of my life on that wall.
Yeah, Gak is a brilliant piece of marketing. Because when you really think about it, oh, boy.
I mean, you can't do anything with it. It tastes terrible.
You know, it was a super fun toy for... honestly, maybe the most fun toy for about 10 seconds.
What?
Those water tube things that it's like a plastic. It's almost like a plastic bag, but it's in a cylindrical shape.
Okay.
And then you can kind of like put it in your hands and like you can like squeeze it and it'll go like wah, like a big bubble will come out. But you can also do the quick through your hands thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Wait. So maybe. Can you do more hand motions?
Yeah, it's like a really aggressive two-hand job.
Got it.
Is the motion I'm making right now.
Sure. I think I do. I think I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's basically just a cylindrical water plastic bag kind of thing. It loosely keeps its shape. And you can, I don't know, because I don't know what they're called. I don't think they have a name.
But there's a hole in the middle.
In the middle, yeah. So
when you squeeze it, it'll go up.
Yeah, yeah. But then you were able to do this thing where, because it's one piece that you can, roll over itself, kind of. Mm-hmm. You could make the thing just kind of, roll in your hands and, roll over itself.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
For 10 to 15 seconds, the most fun anyone can ever have.
Really, Steve?
I mean, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you'll stand by that.
I was, as a child, I was very into it. I was really into it.
Steve, again, the motions you're doing.
And then after 10 seconds, I would spike it at the wall. I'd be like, done! Done! I don't know what the hell those things are called, man.
Neither do I. The water cylinder?
It's like a water cucumber thing.
The water cucumbers are totally different.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Or those are sea cucumbers.
I know. That's what I'm trying to make reference to.
Oh, you.
Yes.
Yeah, your joke was so smart. I didn't get it. Must be the mega block I still have lodged in my brain.
Oh, man. Seriously. That's so sad.
Yeah, it is.
It's so sad. Mega blocks.
Do you remember why I didn't really play with Legos?
Oh, my God. Because your parents hate you?
That's right.
Oh,
hit the nail on the head. No, because I could never get them apart.
Yes. I can't do this right now. Let's move on.
Okay.
Let us move on.
Well, why did we bring this up?
Because you're the worst.
Toys. Toy aisles.
God.
You want to have a child, so you have an excuse to play with toys again.
And buy them goddamn Legos, Wes.
But don't look at me.
I'm looking at you.
Oh, are you ordering me to buy your child Legos?
Yes.
Can I play with them first?
Yes.
Yes?
You're going to come over and build them with my future child.
Okay. Sounds good.
God. Finally. 30 plus years later. Oh, my God.
30 plus years later? I guess you haven't had the kid yet.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's not the announcement here.
Okay, fair enough. Well, was exciting.
With my 3-year-old kid, you guys are going to sit down, throw in some Braveheart, and play some Legos.
Well, sir, I have had an interesting past couple of weeks. And by interesting, I mean I have gone through so many video games.
Really?
Because I knew that Mass Effect 2 was coming out this month for PS Plus free game. And I knew that as soon as I sunk my teeth into that, that'd be the only thing I was going to play for the next month or two. Because it's just so good. But anyway, let me run down the list of video games that I have played the last 2 weeks. Here we go. So, Styx, Master of Shadows, is a full-length stealth game, but because of its clunky controls and its terrible combat system, a couple hours after I started playing Styx, Master of Shadows, I stopped playing Styx, Master of Shadows. So I finished playing Castle Storm, which is a really fun game. I played through this game called Teslagrad, Zeo Drifter, White Knight, a very monochromatic survival horror game, which I kind of recommend if you like survival horror. Kung Fu Rabbit, Grow Home, and finally, I started Mass Effect 2 last night. Let it be known that all those games listed, with the exception of White Knight, only last only like 2 or 3 hours apiece.
God, I don't care for those games.
And those games don't care about you, Steve.
It's true, they don't. Because I've just been playing Metal Gear. Just Metal Gear.
But you are very excited about another game coming out.
It's only a few hours away, and I will now sink my teeth into the deep, deep flesh of one Fallout 4. So I'm not a big fan of, you know, reading reviews about games as well before I play them. Like, games I'm really excited about. Because, again, I just want spoilers. I just want to go in with, you know, and experience the game as the developers have designed the game to be experienced. But I saw today I saw a master thread kind of thing of a bunch of reviews of Fallout 4. So I just did a quick, very, very fast pan through just to be like, am I seeing 7s and 8s? Am I seeing 9s? Am I seeing 10s? Where is this falling in? I'm seeing a whole bunch of 9.8s and 4.5 out of 5s. And blah, I'm like, cool, great. It's all I need to see. I don't need to see, like, oh, clunky mechanic here, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Everyone says it's real good. It's all I need to know. It's all I need to know. Because I take all those with a grain of salt anyway. Like, you know, a 9.8 by someone, you know, very well could be paid off by Bethesda and whatever to add a point to whatever. But as long as no one's saying, this thing sucks, then I'm fine.
You know what was interesting? Last week we did our top 5 Vegas and entertainment, and you didn't say Fallout New Vegas.
Right. Purposely.
Okay. Have you played it?
Yes.
Is it bad?
It's not bad.
Okay.
I just didn't... it did not grab me in the way that Fallout 3 did. I love Fallout 3. And New Vegas didn't jive. For some reason, I didn't get into it the same way. I don't know. I can't put my finger on exactly what it was that was different, but it just didn't feel right. So
okay.
I played a decent amount of it. I never beat it, but it just wasn't my jam. So
Fair enough. So you're super excited about Fallout 4.
Can't wait.
I am super excited about Mass Effect 2.
Good.
Yeah. I love that.
Which, by the way, I tried to give you a copy of Mass Effect 2 like a year ago.
Did you?
Yes.
Are you certain?
Positive.
Okay, well...
because I own 2 copies of it.
Oh, you do? Okay, fair enough.
And actually, if I download it now, I will have 3 copies of Mass Effect 2.
Well, Mass Effect 2, has anyone ever heard of this little series called Mass Effect?
It's a small indie game.
Small indie game. And is this little conversation right here perfectly encapsulates the way we're different. You're going to go out and buy this new game, $60. I downloaded this 6-year-old game for free. And I'm like super excited about it now. So Mass Effect 2, it's going to break me of how I play games, I feel. You know how when I play games, I have to walk around and look at everything and talk to everybody and see everything. And
yep.
The first mission, I did that. Well, like one of the first missions, I did that. One of the first recruiting missions. And I walked around.
Is this
around.
When you are on the city that's got kind of like the... it's like the underground area where they do the... is this where you're going to get Garrus? Not Garrus.
Yes.
Yeah, is this where you go to get Garrus?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, fair enough. So, and this is one of the first missions in the game, so no spoilers for this 6-year-old game. So I walked around, I talked to all the
NPCs?
the NPCs and the leaders of the different mercenary groups. And I was like, oh, okay, these guys are going to be important coming up. I'm so glad I'm putting in this time now. 20 minutes later, I killed all of them.
All dead.
All dead.
Like, bye-bye.
All that time I put into talking to them, all gone now.
Oh, yeah.
So I think this is going to be a good game for me to play to kind of break me of those habits.
Whew. Well, if Mass Effect 2 breaks you of those habits, then perhaps you can then venture into the world of Fallout. Because that's why I don't think you should play Fallout 3, is because there's just so much. There's just so much.
We'll see. We'll see.
But, you know, I think you're at about time for, I mean, let's see, Mass Effect 3 has been out, or excuse me, Fallout 3 has been out for, got 6 years-ish now?
A couple more years, I should give it a playthrough.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming up on your time.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got to play through Kung Fu Rabbit again.
Ugh. Ugh. Why? Why do you do the things you do? Oh, my God. No wonder. I mean, after the previous conversation, no wonder these things happen. Your mother set you up for this years and years and years ago. You obviously have the capability of getting good things like Fallout 4 and Metal Gear 5. But you're like, no, I'll stick with the old Mega Bloks, thank you. What is this, some sort of demented rabbit game? Perfect. Bring that right over here. I'll spend time on that.
This time, Mother, get me another pair of moon boots. God. This time in green.
Ugh. God, you poor bastard. Never even had a chance.
I know. It's how I was raised.
Ugh.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Steve. But what else have you been playing? What else have you been watching?
I'm now at the point of Metal Gear where I've finished every single side op. I have finished all but 3 missions, and these are the now like bonus mission kind of things. It's some of the missions you've previously played, but now with a different caveat on them. Like, you cannot be seen at all. You have to play total stealth, or you can only play with found weapons, that kind of thing. I've got a couple of those, but now I'm at the point now where there is really nothing left for me to do except go back to previous missions and try to do a couple of the small things in the mission to get an extra higher score or whatever. Pretty much beating that thing down as far as it's going to go.
Sure.
So it'll be one of those things where every once in a while I might go back, ah, cool, I'll do this mission again, see, you know, like, but I'm pretty much there now.
All right.
Pretty much there, which it times out perfectly.
It's almost like you planned it.
It's almost like that. Although, Holly is showing a lot of interest in the new Battlefield. Or Battlefront. Excuse me, Battlefront.
Sure, sure.
Which comes out the next week. So, I think we're going to rent that. We're going to do a little Redbox action on that right away.
Mm-hmm.
To see if it still has the feel of the original Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
And that if she's still able to get into the game. Because if that's the case, maybe splitting my Fallout time with Battlefront as well. With my wife. So.
That'll be adorable.
Yeah, man. It's we had so much fun playing the first Battlefront together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only been a couple of games that she and I have actually been able to play together where she can stand playing it for like more than half an hour.
Sure.
It's a couple of the Lego games because
mm-hmm.
they're super fun. It's Battlefront, and that's probably about it.
See, that's special, dude. Like, the only things that my ex-girlfriend could get into playing with me was the Telltale games.
Oh, okay.
Like Walking Dead and Wolf Among Us. But she was brutal during Wolf Among Us, I should say. Like, there was a couple points where she was like, I had the choice to kill somebody. And she was like, oh, just rip us, throw it out. It's like, Jesus Christ! So, yeah, man. I think your wife's a keeper, is what I'm trying to say.
Whew, man. Thank God.
Yeah.
I was about to throw this ring off and hide it in some gack.
Where it'll never be found
never
again.
Never be found. Until a young, hungry Wes comes around. Mmm, gack!
Did you ever play with Floam?
No, I didn't get down with Floam. I had a friend that had Floam. I was like, this is just crappy gack.
Yeah. All right, Steve, enough of my disappointing childhood and what toys I may or may not have had.
You mean all the toys you didn't have?
That's right.
God.
But Steve, what is this week's top five?
We are doing, and this is in honor of the brand new release of the final Daniel Craig James Bond movie, Spectre.
Now, have you seen Spectre?
I have seen Spectre.
What did you think?
72.
72, that's what I'm getting from people.
72.
Just like, it's all right, it's not as good as the past few.
This is how I look at it. It is Casino Royale is awesome. And then there's Quantum of Solace is kind of like a crappy version of Casino Royale in some kind of way.
Okay.
And then there's Skyfall, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Spectre, which is this kind of like longer, drawn-out one like Skyfall, but the crappier version of it. Main things is that I feel like they completely underutilized Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal in everything that he does, and they barely use him. And I feel like there's some more like classic Bond tropes that they do in this movie
mm-hmm.
that I thought we all kind of agreed with this Daniel Craig version. We're not going to do these,
but like invisible cars,
not invisible cars.
Oh
but,
no.
No, the car stuff's fine. Just some of the Bond villain parts with Christoph Waltz were a little homage, a tip of the hat, a little too heavy of a tip of a hat to the old stuff.
Sure.
And the way they kind of use the ladies in this one is very old Hollywood, and it just felt, it didn't feel like as dark and as like as risky as the last couple of, like Skyfall and Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Kind of breathing new life into something. It felt like on the way out, they're like, well, let's just kind of go back to what worked for 30 years. It's like, okay.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, so that being said, the reason I bring this up is because this week's top five is our top five James Bond villain-esque death traps.
That's correct. And I don't know how you set your list up, Steve. I have a very eclectic mix.
Good, good.
I may have some celebrity guest stars appearing on my list.
So again, what we're doing is Wes and I are playing the roles of the villain in the new Bond movie, mm-hmm. and we're coming up with just elaborate, ridiculous, maybe effective, maybe not, death ploys for one James Bond.
Sure. Let me start with my number five, because it's the least elaborate and least ridiculous. I just thought this would be evil and maniacal, and really this is one of my biggest fears. So I imagine James Bond being woken up, and he's, you know, bound and gagged at the bottom of this foundation of a building that is being slowly filled with cement. And this building, of course, is owned and operated by this corporate mogul that's, you know, James Bond's villain. And he wants to put James Bond in the foundation of his building so he can walk on him every single day. So that's one of my biggest fears.
is having a mogul walk on you every day?
Every single day. No, being like trapped in cement and then like slowly like be forgotten about. This comes from like an episode of Oz, not the Happy Wizard of Oz. We're talking about the prison show Oz. There is a character, he's not encased in cement, but he is put, he's bound and gagged and put into a wall, and then bricked in. And then there's, like, a painting put in front of where he's bricked in. Not a painting, but, like, a vending machine or something. And he's never heard from again. Like, he's just forgotten about. He's just part of the building.
Yikes.
And that, I could not get that out of my head when I was thinking of this list. And like I said, it's the least elaborate. It's the least ridiculous. I didn't even bother to do a James Bond villain-esque voice to describe it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But this is a diabolical something to do, just to be like, I'm going to walk on you every single day when I walk into my building.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. The only problem is James Bond, obviously, while the concrete is being poured on him, his bow tie is like a respirator.
Okay.
So it comes up like to his mouth so he can breathe. And then I'm guessing you're probably just going to be using, I don't know, laser watch at this point.
Sure, sure.
Probably what's going to happen to cut out of the of the handcuffs. And then what's going to happen, there's going to be, he's going to use some sort of flame device that's like maybe out of his, like a flower on his lapel,
mm-hmm.
that he will then use to dry the concrete on his, around his hands and turn them into like concrete boxing gloves.
Rock'em sock'em boppers?
That's exactly what he's going to do. Concrete sock'em boppers. And just defeat all of your henchmen, punching them in the face, and then, of course, saving the final punch for you, the villain, and it shatters the concrete off of his hands,
mm-hmm.
and then he has vigorous sex with your wife.
That's how it would happen. So that's my number five.
So my number five, a little bit more ridiculous than yours, but we're going to go with, Mr. Bond, hello. Thank you for coming into my gladiatorial arena. I've decided that this particular Bond villain, because they're all like gay German guys, I've decided.
Yeah.
This particular Bond villain on his, you know, his island that he has, he has essentially a recreation of the Colosseum in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of dudes are just going to come out like from under the ground and fight James Bond. He's going to fight through like an old school gladiatorial style. But then I've also decided that this particular villain also loves the wildlife and has an extensive exotic animal collection.
Of course.
So as guys come out, you're going to have the regular like lion and tiger that will come out, as was in vogue during the Roman times. But then at one point, it's just going to become all animals fighting. At one point, it is going to become lions, tigers, kangaroos.
Oh, my.
Pandas. Like butterflies. There's going to be all sorts of shit going at James Bond.
Wait, I'm confused. Is this like in a Roman Colosseum?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yep.
But it's like a wildlife jungle Colosseum.
I mean, it's not going to start that way. It's going to be this weird, like, it's going to be like just dudes coming out wearing like, you know, shields and half chainmail and like just fighting James Bond. And then all of a sudden, like a tiger comes up, you're like, okay. And then, but there's, it's not going to be jungle. It's just going to be animals out in this like dusty thing running after James. And to be honest, half of them aren't even going to go after James.
No, of course not.
Like that, like the wallaby that's out there?
No.
He's just going to be like, where the fuck am I?
The jellyfish?
Like, jellyfish is going to have a tough day.
He's going to have a tough day.
But James will probably pick up the jellyfish and throw it at the aggressive kangaroo.
Oh, of course.
I just want it to be so ridiculous that James defeats two huge burly guys, and then like, oh, it drops down like in Gladiator, and a lion swipes right at his face, and he misses it. And then all of a sudden, like, is that a fucking panda?
Well, James Bond will obviously take the ropes that he was bound up with. Like some guy in full chainmail is going to swing a sword at him. He's going to put the ropes up, and the sword is going to slice clean through him.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, of course. Then he's going to take that rope, and he's going to like lasso it around like a lion. He's going to ride that lion around.
I like that.
And like, kind of guide. The lion's going to be going nuts trying to buck him off. But, you know, lions don't roll over.
No.
Everyone knows that about lions.
No.
He's going to ride that lion around, and people are going to try and attack him, but the lion is going to perceive them as threats. And the lion's going to clean house.
Nice.
And then once James like rides the lion to safety, he's going to just put him to sleep, because the lion's just being a lion, baby.
Oh, and then perhaps James also somehow uses one of the, like, when the elephant comes out, he uses the elephant to knock down the gate or something, and all the animals are set free.
Sure, sure.
And perhaps that villain is then killed by his own animals.
Possibly.
Ah.
I was picturing, like, the villain, James Bond has this animal pheromone that he...
Oh, yeah.
That he throws upon the villain and all the villains. It's almost like the bait in Red Dead Redemption.
Sure.
Like you throw it at him and then all these villainous animals like yep. come and just eat the villain.
Villainous animals.
You know, they're twisting their evil mustaches.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yes,
so my number five is going to be just a crazy arena setting, ending with animals slaughtering the villain.
So my number four was a multi-layered beast. Because it started out, I wanted to do something with flesh-eating bacteria.
Ooh!
And that has nothing to do with this. But it kind of evolved into this person, James Bond, he wakes up on this, like, almost chain link kind of thing. He's strapped down, and he looks over to his right, and, well, the first thing he notices when he looks straight up, before he looks to his right, and there's just this bunch of, just a mishmash of blades, like, in hanging from this chain link thing opposite him. And he looks to his right, and there's Jeff Foxworthy. And then Jeff Foxworthy says, well, hello, Mr. Bond.
Please go on. Please go on.
And then that was the worst Jeff Foxworthy impression I have ever done in my life. Basically, I imagined some dude asking James Bond these trivia questions, and with each one James Bond got wrong, the blades would get lower and lower and lower. And
what kind of trivia are we talking? Like bar trivia?
Jeff Foxworthy, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Yes.
So, and that was what I thought. At first, I imagined him being lowered into, like, this gigantic petri dish of flesh-eating bacteria. I'm like, well, that's too ridiculous. Let's do the chain-link fence with mishmash of blades and Jeff Foxworthy.
Could you imagine investing, like, an hour and 20 minutes into watching this super high-budget James Bond film? And then, you know, the henchman, you know, in this amazingly choreographed fight scene, it hits James in the back of the head with a club or something. Black. The screen goes to black.
Mm-hmm.
You see the camera, like the eye open, looks up at the blades, and turns to the right, and there is Jeff fucking Foxworthy.
Well, hello, Mr. Bond.
And then there's also a fifth grader sitting there. And it's like the desk set up from the show. Oh, my God.
We're going to ask you some trivia questions today.
Jeff Foxworthy as the villain. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard a worse idea.
I know. James, if you're not smarter than a fifth grader, then you're going to die.
Wow. Okay. Well, it is ridiculous,
yes.
Which is what we're looking for.
Good. Well, how does he get out of it, Steve?
He doesn't. That is a recipe for disaster. How does he? Well, I feel like the obvious answer is James is smarter than a fifth grader. So he answers the questions and is released, I guess.
Yeah. Just like, well, James, you won. Here's your $10,000.
Yeah. He's going to be like, this is the capital of the United Kingdom. He's going to be like, London? They'll be like, correct! Wow, this is fucking great, Jeff.
So James leaves, and as he turns around, he sees Jeff putting the fifth grader on the thing.
You idiot!
That's my number four.
Okay.
I told you, there might be some celebrity appearances on
there.
Sure,
or some C-list people on there.
Yep.
So, my number four, I don't know...
Go ahead, Steve. Beat my number four. You can't, can you?
So, Jeff Foxworthy. No, I mean, is it Paul White? What's his name?
Ron White.
I didn't watch the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. Fine. You know what? Let's do it. Fucking Larry the Cable Guy is the villain.
No.
Which, actually, so villainous. He's so villainous.
Yeah.
For some reason, just because it's such a ridiculous, it's a ridiculous thing to me, period, I want James Bond to be hung from a hot air balloon And I want there to be so much more. I want there to be so much more, but then I realize I don't.
What?
Let me try this one more time.
Okay, please.
There's something so 1940s bad guy about riding in a hot air balloon. That what I envision this scene to be is it's going to be a hot air balloon rally kind of thing. Several hot air balloons are taking off, and of course, for some reason, James is involved. I don't know why. That's not important. What is important, James gets knocked out, and he's now being hung under, he's hung off the side of a basket of a hot air balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously going to be so easy for James Bond to get out. So I don't know exactly what the thing is that
all of his gadgets can help him get out of
that. Yeah. For some reason, I just really want to see the scene of James Bond cutting himself off of this hot air balloon and then landing on the top of the next balloon and sliding and fighting somebody. Mm-hmm. Our villain just fucking doesn't care. He jumps down. For some reason, this guy is just a hot air balloon enthusiast.
Oh yeah.
So as he's like, "Oh James, we are on my favorite hot air balloon. It is a Darth Vader. Do you like it?" And James is like, "No, I don't. I'm going to cut this line," and I fall down to the other hot air balloon. It's like, "Oh, we are going to the other hot air balloons." And he follows him down to the next hot air balloon, and they fight on top of a hot air balloon,
okay,
which is going to be really cool. And James is going to use a gadget to go right through the middle of a hot air balloon and land in the basket and just narrowly avoid the flame that comes out of it. Mm-hmm. They're going to fight again. They're going to fight this giant stair step battle down these hot air balloons, getting closer and closer to the ground as they go, because each one takes so long to. So it's not necessarily the most perilous thing that he'll be on. For some reason, I just thought it'd be a really visually cool fight with the villain, is this airbound, jumping down onto hot air balloons. Because there's so many they can swing off the ropes of the bottoms of the baskets. There's fire. There is that they can collide. And they're just so pretty.
Steve, when hot air balloons collide, they're basically just sock and bop it.
I know.
Colliding.
I know, but I'm saying there's at least, well, you'd think that, but not until the baskets crash together. It's a wicker explosion.
Oh, no. The wicker. Quick.
Just for some reason, I thought it would be a very visually cool thing to see. So I just want to see it. That's why I want that to be a fight with the super gay German bad guy.
Okay. Well, I hope for your sake you will one day see it. Maybe be a part of it.
No, it's too dangerous.
Too dangerous.
This is the most perilous thing of all time.
There's too much wicker.
Have you seen Wicker Splinter?
Oh, man. When it gets under your fingernail.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
My God.
Okay. Well, my number three. So James Bond wakes up and he hears, "Hello, Mr. Bond." And he wakes up.
Ah! No!
And he's strapped onto this section of this wheel. And he's strapped down with he's deadbolted on there, metal deadbolts, and, wrists, ankles. And around his neck, he's got a slit of exposed flesh around his neck.
Ew, yeah. What? Oh.
But he can, move his head, and he looks to each side of him, and he sees that, other 00 agents, other, the females he's been cavorting around with, other, henchmen that have disappointed the main villain are on the wheel as well in different sections. And the wheel's spinning faster and faster, but it's starting to slow.
How big of a wheel are we? Is it the size of James Bond, arms, legs out, or is it a much, much bigger wheel?
It's a much, much bigger wheel.
Okay.
Everyone's on their own section.
Okay, same wheel. All right.
Yeah, same wheel. And then he looks up, and he sees, all these people smoking, gambling, passing money back and forth, and so the wheel starts to slow down.
Oh my God, is he on Wheel of Fortune?
It's slows down, and then it stops, and then you hear his shoo, and he looks to his right, and one of the main henchmen just got decapitated through that slit in the bar. Guillotine. Yep. So the wheel starts up again, and the villain says something like, "Oh, and then like once the dude gets decapitated, like a few people up top go, yeah, and everyone else goes like, God damn it, they throw their money down, and then the wheel starts up again, and the villain's like, Mr. Bond, roll the dice, Mr. Bond, you gambled with your life, or something like that. I'm not a James Bond villain.
It's not yet, Wes, not with that kind of attitude.
You know what? If I put my mind to it, though, I could do it.
But your scheme is good. I like this scheme.
Yeah, yeah.
This could have been a deleted scene from Casino Royale.
I know. They just needed a gigantic wheel of corpses or whatever.
But you know who the villain is in this movie.
Who?
Pat Sajak.
It's gotta be Pat Sajak.
Oh, Mr. Bond. And you know James Bond is totally doing Vanna White in this movie.
Yeah, she's right next to him.
Because Pat Sajak, he feels betrayed because Vanna has turned his back on him and slept with James Bond.
That's right.
Oh, man. That's good.
You better buy a vowel, Mr. Bond.
It's good.
Yeah?
It's good.
Yeah?
I like that you are incorporating a lot of game shows into your death.
Good stuff. This was... this came from my recent trip to Vegas. I was thinking of a giant roulette wheel at first, but I was like, no, Wheel of Fortune. I don't know how he's going to get out of this one. Maybe he just waits until everyone else is dead and hopes that everyone else goes home.
How does James Bond get out of this? Quickly. Okay, this is how he gets out. Pat Sajak ain't no dummy, and he knows that he likes to use his watch. So he makes sure that he can't, instead of, take that back. He's kind of a dummy. He doesn't take off the watch, but he makes sure he can't point it. But what he doesn't realize is that through the jewels of Vanna White's that she's wearing, either her necklace or ring or bracelet, he's able to get the laser into one of those diamonds sort of deal, and it refracts perfectly to hit like all four of the things that are holding him down on ankles and wrists at the same time. He gets all four perfectly, and right as the guillotine comes down,
while burning a hole straight through Vanna White's sternum.
Of course, right, but that's not important. She's dead. We've decided she's dead. Right as the guillotine thing comes down, and then of course all the betting people throw all their money down.
Oh yeah,
and so in this like rain of money coming down, James is, of course, he finds a gun underneath one of the henchmen does. And it's this really cool visual shot of money raining down, and he's shooting up at our villain, Pat Sajak.
Sure, and he dives out, and he lands on a hot air balloon.
And the visuals continue.
That's right.
So, I mean, if I'm looking for a James Bond movie when you drop some acid, that's going to be really entertaining. So, done.
Okay.
Done.
Great.
So, in my next one, our villain is a big cinephile.
Okay.
Loves films.
All right.
Loves films. So he's captured James Bond, as James Bond is wont to be. And now what our villain has done is recreated famous moments of escape in action movies.
Ooh, okay.
So he says, "Oh, Mr. Bond, I hope you are a fan of the cinema like myself. For if you do not escape these situations exactly as it is done in the film, you will die." So, for example, James Bond is going to find himself with the small flicker of fire as he looks down on the ground and sees that snakes are pouring in from the walls. And that's when he realizes he's in that scene from Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some woman dressed in all white. What the hell? Let's make it Vanna White. I don't care. Vanna White is all in white, and he realizes that he has to push the giant statue to smash through the wall to get out. But then he realizes, as that wall collapses and he escapes, that he goes into another classic action-style kind of film. Maybe not classic, but another action movie. Like all of a sudden, in the next room, he realizes that he is now on a speeding bus.
Oh!
He's on a speeding bus, and the driver continually wants to bring it down under 55 miles an hour. And now James Bond realizes, like, he has to do the escape thing with the, like, the panel underneath the bus as they slide out to freedom. He has to do that.
He has to kill Dennis Hopper.
He has to kill, you gotta kill Dennis Hopper, no matter what.
Yeah.
So these other, like, then as soon as he escapes underneath the bus, he realizes that he is now inside of a sewer, like in the Fugitive, and now he has to do the jump off the waterfall of the Fugitive. So he has to do all of these things. So we're taking James Bond, who is one of the great action stars of all time. Anyway, so you know what? Let's see if you're better than every other fucking action star, James Bond. Let's go. Let's do it.
All right.
So that's how it's going to go down.
Okay. Well, he's obviously going to get out of it because he's seen all movies.
All the movies.
Yeah. Clearly. Well, then what's the final one? He's like on an asteroid in space. If Bruce Willis saves him.
I don't want to close my eyes. That's how James Bond dies.
Yeah.
they don't get off the asteroid. He stays there with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And but he, God, does he give it to Liv Tyler before. Sweet God, Liv Tyler.
And that's how it happens. That's James Bond's final movie.
That's it. That's it. He dies on an asteroid as it smashes into Earth and everybody dies.
Well, my number two, James Bond awakes in a meadow and he hears this ksh, as like he sees this walkie-talkie in front of him and he hears this, "Hello, Mr. Bond." And then he looks around and he realizes he's in this, like, it's kind of like a jungle-ish type of meadow, and he sniffs a little bit, and he realizes he's kind of covered in raw meat.
Kind of covered in raw meat?
You know, a little bit. Not enough to be a nuisance. Not enough to be, like, just enough to be a nuisance. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah. We've all been there.
He starts to hear this scampering in, like, the bushes around him, as this chicken-sized creature rushes toward his face, as he just rolls out of the way really fast, and, like, he can't quite see what it is, as the chicken-sized creature disappears on the other side of the bush.
Is it a gallimimus?
He hears, "Ksh! I hope you enjoy my creatures, Mr. Bond. I learned them from my mentor, Dr. John Hammond."
Bum, 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 da, 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 da.
Are they gallimimuses?
They were commies. No, you're right. No,
Compsognathuses?
Yeah, gallimimus are the ostrich type big runners, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking chicken size, like,
yeah, I know
the compies.
Yeah, compies, yeah, compies,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right. Compies. Compies?
Compies.
Compies.
They're like, I've tried to say their name twice already, and I think I've said it wrong both times.
You have. You are. Jeff Foxworthy is going to kill you.
Yep. Yeah, the compies from the Jurassic Park movies. So, yeah, man.
Are you going to leave it at compies, or is he going to be on the island of Jurassic Park and, like, a T-Rex is going to get him?
I want to leave it at compies because that's just terrifying, to be torn apart by these little chicken-sized creatures. Like, he's bound and gagged, you know what I mean? Covered in raw meat.
Oh, yeah, bound and, okay, I thought they were going to give him the chance to run from the compies.
No.
Oh, man. You know what?
He's
James Bond is not escaping. You know how James Bond gets out? He doesn't. James Bond is fucking dead.
Yeah, because this isn't a park, it's his compy pen. It's the villain's compy pen. He's like Dr. Merv Hammond.
Mervin Hammond.
Yeah. My father. Dr. John Hammond.
Wow. Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's a dead man.
Again, James Bond's final film.
Well, I mean, that's how we all want the Daniel Craig Bond to go out. Eaten by compies.
Is that how Spectre ended?
I mean, I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but yes, that's exactly how it ends.
Christoph Waltz played Merv Hammond.
But then, so this is a spoiler. Christoph Waltz does pull off his own head to reveal that he is indeed a velociraptor.
Oh, man. Spoiler alert,
sorry,
Steve.
Dude. Sorry, I said spoiler alert. All right, so my number two. James Bond, as we know, lives a life of luxury.
He does.
Drives fast cars. He lives in London. He goes to all the fancy restaurants. He's been everywhere. So, our villain captures one young James Bond, and he puts him into one of those chairs. You know, it's got the, like, your legs and arms are up, and they're kind of, like, suspended there. And they put basically, like, an Oculus Rift kind of thing mm-hmm. on James. So James is going to be locked in this position, living vicariously through like a 39-year-old overweight diabetic living in the basement of his mother's house.
Oh, no.
He's going to have no input on anything. Mm-hmm. James Bond is, there's just going to be a first-person view of this guy's life. He works at a job that he hates, and he talks about it all the time. All the time. In fact, it's almost the only thing he talks about. Mm-hmm. Except when he's talking ad nauseum about World of Warcraft and how he can't get girls to like him. So James Bond is essentially trapped in a 39... just the opposite James Bond.
Okay.
Everything that is un-James Bond, this person is. And that's what James Bond is going to have to do now. He just sits there. And he doesn't even get to eat. He just... As our the surrogate guy eats his ninth round of McDonald's that week.
Oh yeah,
that's what James eats. They almost like through a tube. They feed him whatever the hell the guy is eating. Like, oh, what's that? Did you want 6 liters of Coke today? Here it comes. Okay, I'll go right at you. And James is just, he's locked in there. Nothing he can do.
Until, like, he's brainwashed into believing he's this man?
Yeah, I think until he becomes.
So it really is the death of the idea of James Bond.
And then they release James into a suburban Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, area. And they even hook him up with a shitty low job.
Like, they knock him out. And then he wakes up in the basement of this person claiming to be his mom's
in
suburban Arizona.
And that's so they
and he works at a Best Buy.
Yep. He works for Geek Squad or something. Yeah, but he hates it.
Oh,
he's not even good at it.
No.
Yeah, that's what they're gonna spend like 5 years brainwashing and physically turning James Bond into that guy.
Well, you know how he gets out of it. He's going to see one of the hundreds of women who he sleeps with, who he slept with before, because, like, it's a small world. He's bound to come across one of them. And she's going to be like, James? And he's going to be like, no, my name is...
Rupert.
Fillert.
Fillert. Fillert Bond.
And then he's going to have, like, these weird flashes. And then suddenly his life, his old life, will start seeping back in. He'll start getting more and more flashes.
Oh, but you know what's going to happen right after that, then?
What's that?
Is a sweet, sweet Rocky-esque training montage to get back to Bond body.
Oh, yeah.
It's the final countdown. Ba-da-da-da. Just him running on a treadmill, but still eating Cheetos because he's still trying to kick the habit.
He's still, I mean, it's tough, man.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's almost a metaphysical death.
Yeah.
I like it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, my number one is the most diabolical and ridiculous of all. My number one, James Bond, he always wakes up somewhere. He never just walks into a place He wakes up and he notices that he's like drunk. And he hears that, Mr. Bond, it seems like you've partied too much. And then he realizes he's surrounded by like broken glass and mouse traps, and the villain's like, I would be careful if I were you. And then the villain like throws a bouncy ball in there, and like it bounces around, like hits a mouse trap, shattered glass, and wherever the ball makes noise, the overhead machine gun like shoots where it makes noise. It's like a sound induced fire
sure.
from the machine gun. So drunkenly, James Bond has to try and make his way out of this. I think like six martinis in.
Ooh.
He's got to try and like get his way out of this
silently.
That's my number one trap.
Well, here's how James Bond escapes. James Bond never gets drunk. Because his secret is he's always a little bit drunk.
It's true.
And then he just, you know what, in my world, he just adjusts his non-existent bow tie, because for some reason I imagine him being naked, and he just kind of tips his head, and he just walks straight out. And then he gets to the door, and he's like, he throws up and just wobbles and like passes out. But he has enough in him to fake it for 15 steps.
And the villain's like, I spent $1 billion on this goddamn room.
On my bouncy ball machine gun room. Damn it. And then the villain's cat is going to walk in there. It's like, no! Mr. Whiskers! No!
Oh! So, that's what I thought of. That's my number one.
Okay.
I figured it's so many layers. I mean, I didn't take into account James Bond's iron liver, but that makes total sense.
Oh, you know what? There was one thing I forgot to mention, that this was supposed to be the precursor to every single one of mine, is that the villain serves James Bond a stirred martini before everything. Ah, Mr. Bond, a martini for you? And he's like, ha ha! Stirred! Bitch!
Take that, Mr. Bond.
Ha ha! And I made it with gin, not vodka. Ha ha! James Bond's like, God, you're such a dick.
Yeah.
But that brings me to my number one. This is pretty intense.
All right, I'm excited.
This is pretty intense. I feel like all of the Bond villains should know that you can't suddenly get rid of James Bond. It has to be a slow play to get rid of James Bond. So what's going to happen is our villain, of course, he owns this amazing tropical island. And it's not just his little, like, base. There's several villages in, like, a small city, and it's almost like a... not as big as Jamaica, but like a small island nation. Like I said, a couple...
Guam?
Sure, Guamish. It's Guamish.
Yeah.
So James Bond flies to this island knowing that the guy is there. He spends a couple days trying to track him down, whatever, goes from town to town. And, of course, as he goes from town to town, he falls in love several times.
Oh.
And makes love to several of the local Guamish ladies.
Oh, she did look Guamish.
I mean, are you Guamish? A bit.
Yeah.
Then, so he finally tracks down the mansion, and he goes in and finds our villain. And he's like, oh, Mr. Bond, here, yeah. Would you like a martini? Ha ha! Ha ha! It is stirred, dick.
There was a dad that last one in there,
and then James is gonna be like, "I'm just in a bar area in your house. Where is your elaborate scheme?" He says, "Oh no, Mr. Bond, you have already fallen prey to my elaborate scheme. Every woman on this island has HIV."
I was thinking of that, something like that, but with syphilis instead.
I thought syphilis too, but and then I was like, you know what? If we're going to kill James Bond, let's do it.
Wow.
You know what? And let's make it a cocktail.
Let's
give
them
both. Basically, every woman is a walking biological weapon.
Yeah.
Everything one can have and still be alive, at least temporarily, is what they have.
Yep.
Like, he stocks this island as he knew James Bond was coming in, like, the next month.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, ladies, here we go. Come and get your disease injections. And every single one of them is a walking biological weapon.
Yeah, gonorrhea.
Yep.
Weapons grade chlamydia.
Woo! His yeah. junk is glowing. Yeah. I mean, he. So James is feeling fine right now. He's feeling fine.
Yep.
And then the villain is gonna say, "Oh, Mr. Bond, would you like to use the bathroom?" And it's like, James, like, well, I do have to pee after this shitty stirred martini. He's like, oh, my urine hurts me. He says, good, it has begun. And then it's going to be a really awful last little bit for James Bond.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a real sad montage.
Oh, yeah.
Of him going through different treatments, and it's not going to work.
No.
Oh, it's going to be the demise of James Bond. And so it kills him by doing the thing he loves the most, but it also impairs him from doing the thing he loves the most because he cannot be with anybody else, or else he'll pass along every single disease, killing essentially the other person instantly.
Oh, yeah. There's no way of getting out of this one.
No, unless there is a vaccine for everything.
Weapons grade STDs.
I mean, he's I've decided that is the way you kill James Bond.
Yeah.
That's it.
Why hasn't anybody done that?
Well, because it's just cripplingly depressing.
True.
That's probably the main reason.
Well, I think we successfully murdered James Bond.
I think so, a couple times here. A
couple times.
James having a tough day.
My number five was the slow filling of cement in the building foundation. My number four is a Jeff Foxworthy trivia blade orgy. My number three is the Vegas-style wheel of corpses. My number two is the compy pen. My number one is the drunk room full of like sound-induced machine guns.
My number six is the gladiator arena that incorporates basically a zoo.
Wait, your number six?
Sorry, my number, did I say six?
Yeah.
You know, because I have six down here because I wasn't sure which ones I wanted.
Got it.
Number five, because, you know, it's called Five and Out. We've done this once or twice.
Yep.
My number five, Gladiator Arena, that basically turns into a zoo. My number four is, I just think it's going to be really cool, is the hot air balloon fight. I know you think it's lame, but think of the wicker. Number three is the escape from all of the movie action sequences that he has to do just right. Number two, we're turning him into a 39-year-old, diabetic, foot-amputated, Geek Squad World of Warcraft guy.
Okay.
Over a series of years. And then number one, the walking weapons-grade STD machine that is the island that finally gets James Bond.
Well, guys, so Steve and I are diabolical, but we know that you guys are even more diabolical than we are. So if you have your top five Bond villain-style death traps, please write them in. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
Facebook and Twitter right around the corner.
Oh, right around
They're
the
right
corner.
There.
Right
there.
As soon as we get the Bond.
Right as soon as we have a cure for all of the diseases will be right there.
Yes, but until then, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was five.
And we're out.